Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and I am proud to have Anton Hayward on today's podcast. Anton spent most of his career in the IT field and started his journey into real estate investing when he realized he couldn't rely solely on his corporate job to attain financial freedom. He found and joined the Jake and Gino group and within a short time invested in his first multifamily apartment. Since joining, he's done a couple of joint ventures and recently co-sponsored a syndication. Welcome to the show, Anton. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How's it going, Gino?
I am doing good. I'm not going to make fun of you, but maybe I should start out. You're a grandpa, huh? All of a sudden, folks, if you're on YouTube, you're going to be looking and going, Anton's a grandpa. Anton is a good-looking grandpa. Congratulations, my friend.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'm definitely proud of being a granddad and love being in a position where I can help, you know, my kids raise their kids and kind of teach them lessons learned from when I was a parent. So,
and Anton, the reason why I asked you that, I started out with that, is I think most people, when they get into real estate, they get into multifamily, it really comes down to the family. And it sounds like you were in your corporate job for years and years and years. Can you expand more on why multifamily for you?
Yes. So, and you're right. I was from that generation where you typically get into a job, a career, and you're with that company for many, many years, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been with the company that I previously used to work at for 28 years, which is a long time for this new generation, right? They're in a job for a couple of years.
28 days.
and they move around. But I was able to, you know, early on know that I wanted to get into a career that I was passionate about. So I got into a career in the IT field, and I was able to get into this company and just move up the ladder every couple years, every 5 years, kind of progress, move into different positions, get more pay as I moved along, a bit more responsibility. But eventually, I reached a point to where I felt like there was no more progression or upward momentum that I could get within this corporate job. So I decided to kind of put together a little plan while I was working there. You know, I did the typical investments in 401k and savings and, you know, all that stuff that you learn from some of the other financial pundits that were out there. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't moving me fast enough into a place where I could, you know, see myself having financial freedom. Mm-hmm. And that's where real estate got in, you know, came into play. I started doing some research into real estate. Eventually, I started investing in real estate, single family homes in my local area, rented those out. And it was a wash, rinse, repeat type of thing where it's like, okay, that wasn't too hard on the first one. Let me do another one. Let me do another one here and there. And I quickly learned, and this was more so when I got into multifamily, that the cash flow that you get from these properties isn't really the wealth builder. It's the exit. Mm-hmm. Of these properties, whether you're doing a refinance and you're pulling out money, or you're just executing a sale and you're pulling out capital from that perspective. And I saw that continually doing it on single family homes would just take me way too long to reach my goals. So then I started thinking about multifamily. Let me get into bigger properties that were worth more, that we can force appreciation and value into these properties, so that when we exited out of those, the payout would be a lot bigger, and there would be less headaches of managing the actual property, just because they scale a bit better when mm-hmm. everything's under one roof.
I want to play devil's advocate, because we joked around this generation not wanting to stay in their jobs. And I think when we started early in the early 90s, late 90s, there was a covenant between the employee and the employer. I mean, you really had, you know, when you're working at a company, there was like this bond, and the employer took care of you, and you as the employee took care of the employer. It was this mutual respect, mutual understanding. You were a lifer. A lot of people grew up in that. And now in this generation, it's not like that. So I commend millennials and younger people who are out there trying to achieve and go towards their sole purpose and find what job fits for them. But I would also tell this generation to look for a side hustle. And this is what we're talking about right now. Anton's got the side hustle. If you don't think you can get into multifamily because you don't have the money, well, house hack, buy a single family home. And when you see you've done that, you buy another one. And then when you buy another one, it's like, I can get into multifamily. Anton's here to say, maybe you don't have to start with single family. Maybe you can start with the multifamily route. And I think that's really, really important to understand. And I commend anybody out there who says, I want to do what's best for my interest, because these employers nowadays, they're doing what's best for their interest. I think that's important to really put out there. But Anton, when you're looking at the single families, what were the challenges to go from single family? I mean, maybe you want to talk a little bit about mindset, about fear, this is bigger, more zeros, a lot of the unknown. What was holding you back, and what did you learn when you joined the Jake and Gino community?
Yeah, I think some of the challenges from a mindset perspective is really that it costs more to get into multifamily. So having that mindset of it costs so much more money, I don't have the money to actually, you know, buy these particular properties at these price values, that, you know, I can't do it, right? There's no way I can get into there working the job that I have with the bills that I have, so on and so forth, right? But quickly, what you learn when you get into these different groups or around people who are investing in these type of properties is that it's not all on you to bring all of the money to buy these homes or even operate the actual properties. So when I got into Jake and Gino, my mindset was, I'm going to get in here, I'm going to learn how to do it, and then I'm going to go off and just do it all by myself, just like I did with the single family homes. It's going to be that easy, right?
Yes.
You know, I can walk away. Absolutely not. So I quickly learned that networking with others, building a team is absolutely the way to go. So getting over that limiting belief that you have to be the one that does everything and control everything was the toughest thing that I really had to get over.
Preach. You ain't the only one, because I had a life before Jake and life after Jake. And Jake and Gino is a lot more successful than Gino, just for that reason. I mean, it was difficult doing it by yourself. You have to underwrite deals. You have to raise money. You have to operate properties. You've got to cut the grass. You have a wasp infestation. You are the person. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm like, gets burned out, and I got burned out. And then I met Jake, and then we started doing it just ourselves, and we were getting burned out. So understanding that it's a business, it's truly a business. And, you know, if you're in the single family space and you're doing 5 or 6 homes, you know how challenging it can be spread out all over the city. If you're doing it by yourself and not having systems, it's really, really important to learn those systems. But we also say education times action times implementation equals the results. When you get into Jake and Gino, you have this buy right, manage right, finance right. From your lens, what does that mean to you? What did you learn about it, about that framework?
Yeah, so the framework, it pretty much just simply put, a few things that you can focus on when you get into these multifamily properties. And it really fits for any property or asset type that you're investing in. So when you buy right, it's really about just honing in and focusing on what is your criteria that you're going to use to say, these are the properties that I want to buy. And when I buy them, they need to fit the certain criteria. Either they're single family homes or they're multifamily between, say, 10 and 50 or 50 to 11 or 100, I mean. Or the properties have different type of criteria, right? They're waterfront properties, they're not in a flood zone. You know, just having that criteria of what fits for you and your risk criteria. It's not just about the money that's going to come out, that it's going to produce, It's also about the level of risk that you want to take too. So adding all that in into one criteria that you can look at when you're looking at your property, say, yep, it fits that mold. Now let me move to that next step of underwriting it, or going to see the property, doing a tour, and starting to invest time and maybe money into looking at those properties. Now the buy right, then you have the finance right, which is even more critical, where we see today where some people did not finance right, where they got into some short-term debt and interest rates went crazy and now they're in a tough spot. But financing right is very critical to make sure you get the right debt product on your property that you're buying or the investment, so that you know that you're, you know, secure for at least a certain amount of time, whether that's 5 years, 7 years, or further out to 25 or 30. I do like the long-term debt myself, but some of the time you do have to get maybe shorter debt. You can get seller financing, creative type financing around these different assets. So yes, make sure you finance right and you're thinking not only about the now, but also the exit that you're going to have going forward. And then to manage right, if you can't manage the property at all, then buying it right and financing it right. These are like legs of a stool, right? If you only have two of those legs, then it's going to still topple over. So you want to make sure you have all three. And manage the property right to me means that you got either the right operators in there, or you, if you are the operator and the one controlling everything, that you have the right, you've hired the right people, property managers, and so on, to make sure that that property is for your residents. It satisfies their needs so that they stay and you don't have a bunch of vacancies where they're leaving all the time, and is also generating cash flow and profits for investors that maybe have invested in those deals with you.
Thank you for sharing that framework. And I love how you just laid it out simply. And it's one of the things where when you're using a framework, you have guideposts. Not everyone is going to have the same buy right criteria. You're in different markets. You have different risk tolerances. You have different goals. You have different expectations. On the finance right, I mean, short-term debt may be appropriate if you have a short-term exit and you understand the risk that's involved. And manage right, I love it. It's about systems and processes. Now, I want you to take me back to the day that you left your corporate job, not when you decided, but actual day. Walk me through the feelings. Walk me through the conversations you had with your family. And how did you feel when that happened?
Well, when I actually pulled the trigger, I was elated. I was happy. I was over the moon, right? I've been working at that company, as I mentioned before, 28 years, but I've been working since I was 15 years old. When I started at the grocery store, bagging groceries and stocking shelves. So this was my first time, you know, committing to myself and actually pulling the trigger that I'm leaving the corporate world. And then I'm going to go into these new ventures where it's kind of, even though you have a plan, like Mike Tyson says, everyone has a plan until you get hit in the mouth. You know, it's still a little bit unforeseen, but I was excited about it. I was a little scared because internally you still have that fear of the unknown.
Oh yeah.
But it was something where it didn't let that take over me. But I was very excited to be able to have put myself in a position where I could leave my W-2 and take control of my own life going forward.
I have two follow-up questions to that. I want to put them together because I think they sort of go together. You know, I joke around that you're a grandfather, but you're a young grandfather. And there may be somebody out there saying, I'm too young or I'm too old. How do we combat that? And number two, how did you prepare yourself? What can I do if I'm listening to this and I just don't like my corporate job? I'm Gino the pizza guy. I hate my small business. What can I do to start preparing myself to be able to exit within 3 to 5 years? And maybe even if I do like my job, just the optionality that if something happens, if all of a sudden I have a family and I want to leave and I want to build a different life, what did you do? Give me some tips on what a listener can do to get prepared.
Yes. So one, I'll say that age is just a number. The only thing that I could see that age might bring into the play is just how long that you've been in the game, right? Mm-hmm. So some people that are older may have been in the game a lot longer, so they've been able to save some money and prepare a bit, mm-hmm. you know, longer for this type of transition, where the younger, you know, age person may not have been in the game long enough to save up enough money to exit. That's really the only thing I can see from an age perspective. But in either case, as long as you have the drive and commitment at either age, it's going to work, right? Think positive mentally, have that drive, have that commitment, and you can move forward. Now, one of the things that I did to prepare, and I think everyone should just kind of look at where they want to go, have that vision of where they want to go, and then start backing into it to say, okay, well, if I'm going to quit my job today, knowing that I have all of these expenses, lifestyle expenses, real expenses, you have to keep the lights on. If you have family, you have to make sure your family also has housing and food or whatever it is. You have to make sure that that's taken care of. Some people might want to take the risk and just kind of make the exit and say it will all work. Me, I'm a little bit more conservative and like to make sure at least I have that nest egg on the side that if I have to dip into it, that I can. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's more of understanding what your lifestyle is, how much it costs, and how long you can sustain it. And when you think you're actually going to start making some kind of profit from whatever business venture you're getting into, to where it can then start, paying the light bills and things like that. Even better, for my case, I was able to buy those single family homes. So the income that was coming from those single family homes that I bought was able to cover my lifestyle, right? It was able to pay all the bills. One hack that you know many people can do, if you can buy a home and you have an ADU or an accessory dwelling unit that you can rent out, and you can rent it to where the tenants that are in there are paying for the entire house and your bills for that home too. I think that's a good hack that helped me out as well and bring a little bit more security. Even though I had that nest egg on the side, I never want to dip into that. I'd rather have my properties paying for my expenses while I am doing the investing in my business. So it would be knowing what you're getting yourself into, understanding your bills and making sure you're prepared to pay those bills for however long you think you're going to need to.
I love your answer on the age, and I'm going to expand upon it a little bit, because we can all make excuses. I'm too young. I don't have any experience. But you're young. You have a lot of energy. You don't have as many limiting beliefs built up. You can probably take a risk. You're not like Gino or Anton, who's a grandpa, and Gino's got six kids. I got to put a lot of food on the table. My grocery bill is a lot bigger than most people's mortgages. So I can make that excuse. Now, if I'm older, I have a lot more limiting beliefs. I've been around a long time. I may have a lot more negativity, a lot of those thoughts where it takes money to make money. So, I mean, you can look at it from any perspective, from any lens. It's really only the right time when you're ready. And you're a perfect example, Anton. After 28 years of corporate, you were ready. It wasn't 29. It wasn't 15. You were ready at 28 years, but you planted. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. And that's what you ended up doing. Properly prepare. But the mental piece is really important. That's why I think Jake and Gino is also an important component to this as well. Because when you're surrounding yourself around like-minded people who are all trying to attain and achieve a similar goal to what you're doing, getting in those rooms, because your input shapes your outlook. If you're in rooms that it's always negative, the sky's falling, you can't do this, it's too hard, well, then your outlook starts forming that way and you're going to take less action. So be mindful and be wary of the rooms that you're in. Now, you've realized the dream. And I remember speaking to you at this at a Jake and Gino event. You were outside the elevators and we were going down and you had asked me, Gino, I've got this time now. How do I structure my day? My day-to-day is not like I've got Zoom meetings on. My day is mine now. Like, how do I plan my day and how do I get the most out of my 8-hour day? What have you done since that conversation to start structuring your day and create those habits to start helping you hit the goals that you're putting down for yourself?
Oh, yes. Leaving the corporate world is that's one big challenge, right? Because when you get used to someone just, you know, going into the office, sitting down, and basically you're just being told what to do. So all you have to do is execute from their plan.
Yes.
Getting that structure in place is really hard. When I quit, immediately I started just being relaxed and a little bit lazy. I'm like, oh, okay, I got all this free time. I can just do what I want. I went on vacations. Me and the wife went to Hawaii. And eventually I got around and said, okay, I have to get real right now. Let's start putting some structure in place to where I can really start committing to taking the actions that I need to do.
Yes.
One thing I try to do is plan for tomorrow, today.
Yes.
So I have, you know, a note app that I document a daily note of, put in routines that I want to do and complete every day. I also have, you know, some personal reminders in there where there are three reminders that I try to look at, read every day, where I want to cultivate internal and external peace and clarity, develop to my fullest potential, and leverage every resource appropriately and wisely, right? So I get in there, I document and say, today, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow around the end of the day. So that when I wake up, I know that I can just open up this, my daily note. It has some things that I can go ahead and start hitting. And every day, there's really no willpower for me to do it because I've already put forth the effort mm-hmm. and thought about what I'm going to do tomorrow, today. So I think that's one of the things that really helps me out is blocking off my calendar is another thing. So I have my deep work set of hours within the morning where I have my most energy. And then I have my light work, you know, activity or time block later in the day where I have my calendar, you know, that link goes to that time. Any of, you know, the low priority type tasks go into that time, so on and so forth. And I mix in there family, workouts, going to the gym, any mental exercises that I need. I think meditating and taking care of your mental health as well as my physical health mm-hmm. is also helped.
What I would say to add on to that, that's all excellent advice. As a multifamily investor, we teach there's three things you need to be doing all the time. And I know Anton's doing this. You're going for deal flow. You're going for deal analysis, right? You're going for networking, and that's what you're looking for. You're looking for deals, try to find these deals. You're trying to analyze these deals, and you're trying to network with brokers and with other investors. If you're trying to do a little bit of all three of these interspersed throughout the day, you're going to find a deal eventually. You're going to be able to find a deal by using those three activities. Now, what I wanted to ask you about syndication, you've done it. You've co-sponsored a deal. What are your thoughts on syndication going forward? Is that one of the tools in the toolbox that you'll be using going forward as well?
I think it is. So I haven't been scared off by syndication. I do like the joint venture model a little bit better just because there's a smaller pool of investors who are typically in a joint venture. Mm-hmm. So you and your small group kind of own the deal. And you can move forward. When you have your investors, it just creates a little bit more complexity around execution.
Yes.
So if you're going to do anything big that may have been outside of the business plan, you have to make sure that you're getting with the investors, they know what's going on, and maybe even getting approvals from investors to do certain things. But both are really good tools to have in your tool belt, because if you don't have enough capital to bring to the table or any partners that can bring that capital, then doing a syndication is great. So that can bring some money to the table that maybe you didn't have in your pocket, especially if you find a deal, which I think a lot of people might find a deal and then they just don't know how to get the money. Partner, do a syndication. That's one way to do it.
I love that.
Yeah, I like the syndication.
Yeah, that's excellent. I didn't mean, I'm sorry to cut you off, but you said it so well. And hey, I like it, but it's only a tool. If I don't need the money, I'm going to JV. And then I'm JVing here, and then I've run out of money, and then let me syndicate a deal. And then when I got more money, I'll JV. So using both of them, you may want to go after a 200-unit property where you don't have enough capital. That's a great syndication. Or if you have a 40 or 50 unit, you can partner up with two or three other people. Let's do that. And I think having that open mind and having the ability to choose and the understanding to do that is so important. Now, where do you see yourself in the next 3 to 5 years? I know you're a planner. I know you're thinking about it. I know you're a visionary, long-term, you know, goal setter. Where do you see yourself in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, next 3 to 5 years is basically more of the same for me, right? So I want to continue not just stacking properties and assets, but that's part of the plan, because those are the things that's going to build that long-term wealth and build that legacy wealth as we move forward. But also, you know, being a healthy, mindful, humble person that's also helping others, right? Mm-hmm. From family, friends, and even those when I'm buying these properties, we're always thinking about the residents and how to make their lives better. So it's not just about profits when buying property. I'm thinking about the communities that we're buying these things in and how we're making these communities better. But over that 3 to 5 years, yeah, it's just me growing as a person, learning. I can never learn enough. I'm always learning from people in the group. So staying educated, staying active, and yeah, building up others as we move along and helping passive investors invest in these type of deals that, you know, they love their job. They love working. They don't want to have to deal with, you know, toilets and all the minutiae that gets into managing and operating properties. All they can just bring their capital to reignite capital, and you know, we can help them get some profits on their money.
I love that. Where can the listeners get a hold of you?
They can either go to LinkedIn. I'm pretty heavy on LinkedIn. And search for Anton Hayward, my name. It should just come up, or Reignite Capital. And my website is reignitecapital.com. So they can find me there. They can, if they want to reach out to me there, they can schedule an appointment.
It's Anton, A-N-T-O-N-E. And as a 15-year-old, Anton's bagging groceries. He's already working hard. He's already got the blue-collar work ethic. 28 years in IT. Dedicated, committed, hardworking. And one day he decides in that journey that I like to start building something for myself. I love what I'm doing. I love the corporate world. It's fed my family. It's, I maybe go on vacations. It's put money in my pocket. I've gone up the corporate ladder, but I think I'd like to see the next phase of my life. And I've been doing this real estate thing for a little while. I've got a couple single family homes. I know there's something more to investing than just single family homes. So I start looking at the multifamily. And I joined Jake and Gino, make some really great relationships, decide to leave the corporate world. I feel elated, but at the same time, I don't know really what to do the first couple of weeks. So I'm going on vacation. I'm going to Hawaii. I'm enjoying myself until I'm like, hold on a second. I got to get serious again. And, you know, gets back down to it, buckles down and starts with the habits and the tasks that you need to become a successful entrepreneur and a successful investor in business. And it's been a really great story to think of somebody who's worked for so many years in corporate to say, you know what, that was a great part of my journey. I want to turn the chapter of that page. And what does the rest of my life look like? I want to impact investors. I want to impact the communities that people live in. And more importantly, I want to impact my family. Listen, it's been an honor and a privilege having you on here, having you be part of the Jake and Gino community. And once again, Anton Hayward, go check him out on LinkedIn, reignitecapital.com. Thanks, Anton, for being a guest on the show. I appreciate it, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me, Gino.